Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Jean-Guillaume de Tocqueville. I'm a five generation below Alexis de Tocqueville. And we try to keep this great legacy alive with the foundation. Perhaps, Ralph, I was thinking about, I'm happy to answer any questions, and if you want to have a Q&A starting right now, but I was thinking of explaining a little bit who Alexis de Tocqueville was.
We would love that.
And then switch to what we do with the foundation. I would like to start with the one question. Why is it topical to know more about Alexis de Tocqueville these days? And I think the answer is because many democracies around the world are in crisis, quote unquote, whether it is in the US, in Europe, or in other places. there was an article last week in one of the main French daily saying, saying, in this sort of gloomy atmosphere, there are two bright, shining suns. The first one is Alexis de Tocqueville, and the second one for France is De Gaulle. So it's, I think it's a very topical moment to have a chat on Tocqueville. So Alexis basically analyzed the benefits, but also of democracy, but also warned about the fragilities and the pitfalls on democracy. I will come back to that later. So who was Alexis? Alexis was a young aristocrat in the 19th century from Normandy, and his family had been badly hurt by the French Revolution. His grandfather, great-grandfather were beheaded, and his parents just got out of prison because Robespierre, the key revolutionary guy in France, fall, and they opened all the prisons. So that was a very that was quite a trauma for Alexis, and I think that his the way he acted in a clever way was, instead of saying, this new regime, the Republic is horrible, my whole family, or nearly my whole family was beheaded, he had this insight to say, let's analyze exactly what this new regime is like in a very objective way. So he could have despised this new regime, but that's not what he did. He decided to analyze it in a scientific way, if I may say so. So Alexis was a lawyer. He became a young judge at age 20 or 22. And in 1830, he decided to go to America because he didn't want to serve the new regime of King Louis-Philippe. Because Louis-Philippe was as a small anecdote, Louis-Philippe was the son of Louis the 16th cousin, and he was a representative, and he voted for the death of his cousin, and the death penalty was imposed on Louis the 16th at one vote majority, which was the vote of his cousin. So many people in France didn't want to, because of this, to serve Louis-Philippe. And Alexis decided to go to America, and he managed to get a mission from the Minister of Justice to study the prison system in the US. The prison system in the US was interesting because there was this idea of rehabilitating the convicts and the criminal, which you didn't have in Europe. So he embarked to the US with a friend of his, Gustave de Beaumont, and they toured America for 9 months, going to, Eastern Coast, Great Lakes, all the way to the Mississippi, and coming back by the South. And he was, what is interesting is that he was basically your age, Alexei, when he went to America. He was 25. So I know that you are probably a little bit below 25, but it's close to your age. And he was very, very mature, probably much more mature than at least when I was 25. I wouldn't be so serious. They toured US, Alexei and Gustav, and they committed this report on the prisons to the Minister of Finance. But the real purpose, at least for Alexei, was to study the institutions of this new extraordinary republic. At that time, the institutions were just nascent. You hardly had a federal state, which was very weak. You had young state governments, but mainly what Alexei saw in the American communities was the way the pioneers and civil society would take care of their own affairs. They would not, as would be the case in Europe, expect everything from the states or the government. They would, in their community, they would be active. They would take care of schools. They would take care of hospitals. They would take care of the fire squad. And this is really what I think impressed Alexei the most, is the way citizens, civil society, citizens, associations, corporations would take part into the collective good and helping each other and helping the society. So he came back after observing this, after he was speaking to many people. He met with two U.S. presidents. They were very nicely welcomed by Alexei and Gustav by Americans, and he came back to France, just locked himself in his estate in Normandy, spent 4 years writing Democracy in America, which is his remains his masterpiece. And what is funny is that he found a publisher. But the publisher was not sure that the book would be successful, and he edited the first drawing in 500 books. The 500 books were sold out in a matter of a few hours, and then there were many other editions of Democracy in America. So Democracy in America is a masterpiece of Alexis. There is another masterpiece, but which is more on French history, which is called The Old Regime and the Revolution, in which Alexis demonstrated that the French Revolution was not the result of what we call the Enlightenment, which is the opening of new ideas in the 18th century. It went back to much before that, to the 13th or 14th century, with all the centralization work of the French monarchy. And this was also a great success. So again, the key idea of Alexis is that democracy works only if civil society engages in civic life. And Alexei, of course, was convinced that of the superiority of democracies. Only democracies can guarantee, on the long run, dignity and individual freedom, and offer a civilizational project. Allows the amazing creativity potential of civil society to burst out. This was his key idea. He also warned, because he was very objective. He also warned that democracies are fragile. They are fragile because if you don't have a vibrant civil society, it's not a question of voting, every 5 years. It's a question of being part of a dynamic process with, as I said, to take part in the collective good. If this doesn't happen, then you have dangers and fragilities. The first one is that what Tocqueville called the tyranny of a majority. Today we can see that you also can have tyrannies of minorities. Another danger was the disconnection between the elites and the people, which is very detrimental to democracy, and that leads to individualism. Individualism, where citizens just don't care anymore about public affairs, and they just are just interested in their small family circle, things like this. And this is where this is a nil democracy, and this is where dangers of dictatorships or authoritarian regimes, sorry, risk to happen. So this is, what Alexis brought back from the US, and as I said, his book was an incredible success because people in Europe were very interested in his observations. It was an era where monarchies were questions, and democracy was a f and the US example was a fascinating example. So this is what Alexis brought back from America. And a few years ago, 12 years ago, with friends and my wife Stephanie and a bunch of friends, and now Corinne, who is the our CEO, we thought that we should this legacy was a fantastic legacy. Nobody criticizes Tocqueville's legacy. That's quite extraordinary, because it is an honest and smart legacy, and we thought that we had to do something to keep it alive. So we decided to create this Tocqueville Foundation, the purpose of which is to defend democracy, of course, and defend the transatlantic link, which is a little bit secret these days, but no doubt that it will come back. And again, I'm sorry to repeat myself, and promote, encourage civil society to take part into the common good, again, citizens, corporations, associations. Alexis used to say, associations is the mother of all sciences, because when you get involved in a collective project, you of course demultiply your chances to succeed. So basically, our concrete projects are around our vision, which is defend democracy and civil society, and three core things, which are: the first one is to transmit this passion of democracy to young generations. All we do is for young people, young generations. Otherwise, you know, we are of no use. We also another of our axes is debate, debate, dialogue, and this is it's not only for you know, moral concerns or whatever that we want to dialogue with people who do not think the way we do, or the way we put together people who don't have the same convictions. It is basically a question of efficiency, because if you have problems for collective problems and you have people who differ in the way they want to solve these problems, if everybody is polarized and you just speak with friends who think the same things as they do, it's not very useful. The only efficient way to solve these problems is to debate and to compromise, and then acting, and that's what we do with our different projects. Our key project is a conference that we hold every year in Normandy, in Alexis de Tocqueville's home, which is now our home, where we still have his cabinet, his library, and his papers, his manuscripts. This is a place that Alexis loved because it's a place he found their serenity and the quietness to that allowed him to work. And what we do is we gather speakers from all around the world, U.S., Asia, Europe, to speak about you know, around themes that are geopolitical, sociological, in the, you know, in the legacy and in the heritage of Alexis de Tocqueville. And we have themes like citizens wake up. That was 2 years ago. Last year it was. It was Europe's moment, and that Europe's moment is, you know, with all these questions and all these geopolitical shifts, in particular in the relationships with the US, is Europe able to take its destiny in its own hands? Well, I'm not sure we have a clear view on this yet, but we had very interesting debates with US, French, European politicians, CEOs, academics, artists. So it's a great moment of debates, friendship, informal atmosphere. And so the people are 2 days. We have 2 day panels in Normandy, and this event is organized in partnership with the Atlantic Council, which is a great bipartisan US NGO, the Figaro, which is the largest daily paper, and the Tocqueville Foundation. And we, you know, hopefully, we encourage debates. I think, frankly, we put together people on the same panel that would never had accepted to debate together if it was not in Tocqueville. So we have a few other projects. We have a every year in Monaco, we organize a big meeting, not so big actually, because we but a very interesting meeting with philanthropists and civil society leaders and thought leaders on you know, themes that are important for them to reflect on, and there are many the participants to this roundtable have done a lot of projects together after making friendships with the people we put together and debating. Today's theme that we debated last October was Science in Peril, a new is it a new agenda for philanthropy? So that was extremely interesting. And we do this with the Foundation of Prince Albert. We have training sessions with other NGOs for professors that high school professors that then on Tocqueville, on
Sure.
the local democracy, on how parliament works, on the importance to debate. And this, the idea is that these professors, in turn, just explain that to their pupils. So
Yeah.
really allows us to have a larger reach. So as I said, we're a small team. We have Corinne, we have Laure Mandeville, who is a great friend and one of the stars of the Figaro.
Yes.
And we have so it is at the same time we hope a useful initiative. It's a friendly initiative, and we are for the first time we are organizing this year a big event in May in Mount Vernon in Washington D.C. Mount Vernon, as you all know, was
Yes.
Washington's house. And that will be about, would how could Tocqueville help to solve or clarify all the issues and controversies that now exist around democracy?
There's a lot of questions regarding that from the
Yeah,
kids. So,
and so Ralph, I've been too long already. I'm just
no, you're
finishing
fine. I wanted to say, oh, your next what?
Our next target is 2031, which will be the 200th anniversary of Alexis' trip to the US. And so we are going to organize a number of things there, probably redo the travel he did, in the cities where he went. The purpose is always the same, is to convince people that there is, in spite of all the imperfections, there is no better political system than democracies if you want to save individual liberty, dignity, and so that's what we do.
And that's amazing. And personally, I want to say thank you. I'm a direct descendant of George Wythe, who signed the Declaration of Independence. And so it's very, we've always been taught that from a very young age as far as the French influence, as far as democracy. And so this was a very, very special opportunity when Chantal and Corinne had proposed this to me. I said, absolutely, we need to do this. Do you mind if we jump straight into some student questions? Because we've got quite a few of them.
Please, absolutely.
Okay, this is from Charlotte, and Charlotte is in Rennes, there in France. Go ahead, Charlotte, you can unmute. You had a good question.
Thanks. I would like to ask if Alexis did some significant action to improve the democracy in the US or in France, and when he possibly came back to France. In the 9th century. Thanks for your answer.
Okay, sure. Thank you for this question. So Alexis did not step in political life in the US. His trip was too short. It was only 9 months. He had planned to stay longer, but he had an accident in the US. He was When he was crossing a river on his horse, he fell. His horse was afraid of something. He fell off his horse, and he had to swim in frozen water, and managed to get back to the bank. But he was between life and death for 3 weeks, and then that damaged his health. So he came back earlier to France, and so in France, he also had a political career. He was a representative and chair of the regional assembly of Normandy La Manche, and he also was Minister of Foreign Affairs of Napoleon III. Before Napoleon III became emperor. Napoleon III started his political life as being president, as you might know. And then after 4 years, he decided to coronate himself as Napoleon III. And so Alexis had a short mandate as a Minister of Foreign Affairs because he slammed the door when Napoleon decided to did his coup. Because he was in total disagreement with, as you might imagine, with restoring the empire. So he didn't have time to really act practically, or to have a real influence to defend the idea that he had observed in the US. And to be frank, I think Alexis was probably much more at his ease, as an intellectual than as a politician. And as a matter of fact, he's very famous these days, and probably more these days than ever as a thinker, as the thought leader, than as a politician.
That's good. Thank you for that. I think there's a lot of idea exchanges, especially in the 19th century, with what was going on in America pre-Civil War and in France. One of the kids they wanted to know, do you know if was there evidence with Tocqueville ever connecting with Henry David Thoreau, who was an American philosopher at the time?
No, I don't know that. What is his name again?
Henry David Thoreau. He was a very famous American philosopher, and some of their ideas were very similar, and they were alive at the same time, if they might have crossed paths in Alexis de Tocqueville's travels.
Well, I can check, but I'm not sure that they met. I would have
So,
heard about him, of course.
Chloe, that was a very specific question. We have a question from Bordeaux, France. This is Emma. Emma, you can unmute. Go ahead. You had a very good question for our guest. Go ahead and ask.
Hello. Firstly, thank you. I have a question. What do you think Tocqueville would say about the rise of populism in our democracies, especially in Europe and in France?
I'm sorry, I didn't get
She wanted to
the
know what do you think about the rise of socialism in both France and in America? What do you think that Alexis de Tocqueville would say about this nowadays?
Alexis de Tocqueville was not, he was considered at the time as a leftist, but that was only because he was in favor of the Republic. He was not in favor of the Republic more than monarchy. He was in favor of a political system that allows democracy. But as a representative in a Republican assembly, he was seen as a leftist, which he was not actually. It's interesting to know that to realize that Alexis Tocqueville and Marx lived at the same time. They never met, but Marx was a had a great success after his death, because of communism in Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe and in Asia, until people realized that that was leading everybody in the world. And Alexis was much more. Marx was an ideologue, and Alexis was an observer of reality and facts. So, what he would say about socialism, Alexis thought that the way for democracies to function was to alter conservatives and the social democracy. I think that he himself was more on the converted on the conservative side. But the way democracy functions properly is alterning conservatives and social democrats. That is the democratic functioning. I don't think he would be very happy. Actually, he wouldn't be happy at all of the show that we have now in France. This political show with the which testify of a real the dysfunctioning of our democracy. And he had warned about dysfunctionings like this. He would not condemn socialism as such. As long as socialism as I said, social democracy is responsible, which is not at all what we see now
Yeah,
in France.
there's a lot going on in both America and I don't is there any correlation with the stuff that's going on in America as far as the gap in classes with like government shutdowns and everything like that? Is there anything like that happening in France that's a parallel as well?
Yeah, I think the situation here is different. In Trump, in the U.S., President Trump has all the powers in executive power. He has the two chambers with him, and in France, it's different. It is a mess because there is no there the president has no majority at the National Assembly because of the dissolution he did 1 year ago. So he's desperately trying to find majorities to pass new legislation, but he's now the government is taken in hostage by the Socialist Party, which has very in my personal and modest view very unreasonable request.
One of the kids wanted to ask about your professional career in law. Did your lineage have any influence of that as far as you following going into a career in the legal field?
No, not really. I think that I'm the only lawyer in the family since Alexis. No, and I've been, I've been a business lawyer specializing in M&A and banking regulation and litigation. I have studied and worked in the US. It was a fabulous experience. I'm a Georgetown alumni. And I've worked 2 years in New York as as an attorney. Of course, I've had questions about my relationship with Alexis. What was important for my partners was more my bottom line. So
Makes sense.
it makes absolute sense, I agree.
We'll go with a couple more student questions, then we'll let you go. This is Clara. Clara is in Portugal. You had a very good question for our guest. Go ahead and ask.
Hello, I
Hello,
wanted to
Claire.
know which of Alex's insights about democracy do you think remains most relevant today and why?
I think his views are more topical than ever. He was a man of the 19th century, first part of the 19th century, and most of his observations are still valid now because I think that he tried to see, beyond the daily political life, what are the basic values of democracy. He was an incredible observer. I think, as I said, I think that his key observation was the so important role of civil society in the good functioning of democracy, and this is the reason why we have created a foundation whose projects try to we are trying to keep this legacy alive. But what he explains also on the benefits of democracy, the fact that in spite of all its defect and problems, democracy remains the sole and only regime where people can really blossom, if I could say. And be free and have a dignity is democracy. He also spotted this all these difficulties, disconnection between elites and the people, individualism, the equality. I mean, he was Alexis was absolutely not in disfavor of equality. He thought equality was a legitimate aspiration. But he said what he showed is that equality without liberty may lead to authoritarian regimes or dictatorships. So to answer your question, I think it's the importance of the role of civil society in the democratic government.
Well said. And guys, if you want to learn more, check out ToquevilleFoundation.org. And there's also information regarding the forum on there in Normandy. So I would be remiss not to ask about this. This comes from myself. What do you think philanthropy and civic engagement play? What role do you think they play in strengthening our current democracy?
Well, that's a great question. I think philanthropists are perhaps the best example of civil society leaders and thought leaders and just leaders as such. Most of the time, philanthropists. All the time in the US, but also oftentimes in Europe, are business people, entrepreneurs that have succeeded in their business, and that are eager to give back to the community in creating foundations, NGOs, associations. And they are, of course, the idea is not to substitute the states and governments, but the way this desire to give back to the community is a very specifically American quality, and I think that this is the reason why I think that philanthropists are. An excellent example of what civil society can do to play a role in helping democracy.
Well said.
It is. I came to philanthropy through United Way, because when I was a young lawyer working in New York, I got a phone call from United Way saying, we are United Way, and we would like to name our club of large donors after your ancestor. And I said, this is great. This is very kind, but you tell me a little bit more who you are. And the lady said, sure. And we had a conversation, and she said, we have our national meeting in Dallas this weekend. Why don't you come? So I went, and it started like this. And I discovered this world of American philanthropy, which I found was fascinating. With really great people, great entrepreneurs that decided with their wife and kids to bequest all their money to philanthropy. So this is probably the best experience I brought back from my years in America.
Well, if you ever come to Las Vegas, I work at a food pantry twice a week, and we always say at the food pantry, you can tell someone by their character when you help those who can't help you in return. We are going to end this with one final question. But before I ask you that question, I want to remind everyone on here that December 3rd, we have the exploration of Tocqueville's observations during his journey in America. So you guys can sign up. We're going to be sending information about that after today's talk. So, Jean-Guillaume, the final question, and I always ask this of all of our guests, what advice would you have for the next generation as they go off into the world and figure out what kind of paths they want to lead?
That's a key question, obviously. And as I said, what we do it for the next generation. I would very modestly, of course, advise the next generation to, in a world that is moving at light speed, basically, innovations that are arising at light speed. Light speed for mostly for the better, but also sometimes for the worse. I would advise the young generation to keep these values, in particular democratic values, very hard in their heart. And that if they have this belief and this solidity, I think that they will do great in the world to come.
So, guys, if you want to learn more, definitely check out ToquevilleFoundation.org. Please join us for our upcoming guests starting December 3rd, and then we will have one 2 weeks later, all surrounding Tocqueville and all things Tocqueville Foundation. So, Jean-Guillaume, I traditionally allow everyone to unmute and say thank you to our guests, and then I end the meeting for all. So, can we all say merci, thank you to our guest, Jean-Guillaume de Tocqueville, for taking time out of his day to talk about the foundation. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.